Welcome back to another Kind of Funny screencast. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by Roger Percorny.
It's so weird seeing the screencast thing again. I made that. I forgot about that.
Wait, did you really?
I didn't make the intro, but I made the logo, remember?
Oh my God. I don't remember that, Roger. I really fucking don't remember.
Dude, honestly, that was the reason why I got into art school, was because I had like images of like Kevin, like with like the screencast logo and everything. Like, it was a huge part of my life.
That's awesome. That's so hilarious.
It's cool to see.
Hey, that is amazing. Holy shit. And joining us as well is the sad boy himself, Barrett Courtney.
All you'll ever be to them is a number. Oh, I'm so excited that we're back and we're talking Bad Batch, y'all. I'm so excited.
We are, because this is the Kind of Funny screencast, the return of the Kind of Funny screencast, where each and every week we get together to talk about and review the latest movie and TV show episodes. It's very, very cool because we're doing it at least once a week. But sometimes, like this week, we're doing multiple things. We're going to be doing weekly reviews of MCU's What If. We are doing right now the season review of Star Wars The Bad Batch. And soon, the next day or two, we're doing a movie review of Free Guy. And that's kind of the versatility of screencasts. I like the idea that it could be one-off episodes, movies, or entire seasons. And we're going to have fun. And anytime that we want to talk about movies or TV shows, this is where we're going to do it. Upcoming next week, we're even going to do a more traditional screencast episode that is kind of like a montage of us getting together, talking about all the different shows we've been watching, including Dave, Season 2, Blindspotting, High School Musical, The Musical, The Series. It's going to be a good time. Ton of fun stuff. But we are not talking about all that today. We're talking about Star Wars, The Bad Batch, on this beautiful show that you can get on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. And if you want to get it as a podcast, search for Kind of Funny screencast on your favorite podcast service. And if you want to get the show ad-free, patreon.com/kindoffunny is where you want to be. If it's not clear, I haven't actually set an intro for the show and I am just rambling and I hit everything I had to hit. So I think you
nailed it for a show that was able to survive you killing it. I think and for us doing screencasts for the first time in a while, I think you nailed the intro here, Tim.
Just like Clone Wars. You know, it lived, it died, it came back, and now it's back again in a slightly different form.
Exactly.
So it's been a while, boys, since we've talked Bad Batch. I think episode 4 or 5 was the last one.
We reviewed the first 4 episodes my memory.
And then here we are, episode 16. We just watched it last night. So now we're ready to talk about it. Barrett, I want to start with you. And you can start wherever you want, whether it's just the finale or the season as a whole. Go for it.
I thought this was a very good first season. Of course, I don't know if they had confirmed a second season when they had started the show. Didn't they confirm a second season? I think like halfway through the season one or something like that. Or
2 weeks ago was the official confirmation. There was a lot of rumors. The animation's kind of hard to hide. Because people are working on it so early. So it's like there are a lot of rumors that there would be a season 2.
And like the way that the season was like pacing itself out, it felt like, this isn't just a one and done kind of deal. And I thought it was a solid first season. I really loved the core story of the Bad Batch, them dealing with the kind of aftermath of Order 66, the kind of interpersonal relationships with like Hunter and Omega. Omega, and then why am I blanking on his name? The snipey boy, crosshair. And like that kind of the relationship and how it kind of crumbles and how that kind of was the core story throughout the entire season, and also Omega being part of the Bad Batch and kind of like learning. You know, learning to be with this new family and traveling across the galaxy. And I think the way the last two episodes kind of ended, because they're kind of calling it a part one and part two of the finale, just really hit emotionally on all cylinders, I think. I think overall as a season, though, I think it runs into a little bit, not as much of the problem as Clone Wars did, because obviously a full Clone Wars season was like 22 to 25 episodes. There was, we talk about it all the time, there's a lot of filler for a lot of those seasons. And I think even though this was only 16 episodes, I think we still get a good amount of filler. Some that was like really fun and really unexpected with some tie-ins from other characters, whether it's Clone Wars or Rebels, which
or we Mandalorian.
Or Mandalorian, which we should expect because this is the Dave Filoni Star Wars verse that he is building something towards, right? And so, yeah, I think it was a solid first season. There were some times where I was like really kind of like zoning out for some episodes because I was like, yeah, I don't need to learn how Jabba got his fucking Rancor in episode 6. Like, I don't need that episode. There's a couple of other episodes similar to that as well. Still a lot of fun moments. And yeah, like these last two episodes that are quote unquote the finale, like really hit. There's a moment in episode 15 where it's right before the Kamino goes down and all is quiet, and you just get all of these shots of the like inside Kamino just like empty. And it really hit of that moment of like, you know, we've had so many moments throughout the Star Wars lore that covered this kind of era that have felt like, man, this is a new era for this universe. It's no longer the Republic. We're going into the Empire. But I really appreciated that we got that from a different perspective this time, and seeing it from the perspective of the clones, of seeing Kamino empty, knowing that it's about to be destroyed, and you're like, God damn, you're like, yeah, this is no longer the Republic that they knew and that we knew so much through this show, specifically Clone Wars. And yeah, there's a lot of emotional moments for me personally, and I really liked how they kind of tied things together in this last episode, and I'm excited to see where they go with it, and I'm sure we'll have some stuff to talk about with that very last scene and stuff like that. But yeah, that's how I felt overall.
Raj,
I think it's fine, the entire show. Like I was pretty high on it in the beginning, but then as I started to go through the series, and I for context, I stopped watching it pretty much after we did our last episode rewatch, and then I kind of binged them all the last week. And watching them all, it just felt like really bloated to me. And I think that a lot of the moments would just be a lot better if this was a miniseries. And I don't particularly love every time that they kind of snuck in a Filoniverse character, and like it just felt very forced, like Hera being in there and like all these characters just somehow are related to the Bad Batch, just like all of their origins just intertwined together. Like it's kind of it takes away from, I think, the core dynamic of the characters. And it also makes me look back, like I look back at a lot of these moments and I'm like, what did Echo do the entire season? Like, he kind of did nothing. Like Tech didn't really do anything either other than just be Tekka. Like, I really would have loved
It was really Hunter's show.
Yeah, and like...
It's like... I'm sorry to interrupt, but Hunter's show. It's like, what did Hunter do? It was a mega show. And it's like...
Yeah.
Like, Hunter was kind of only there to be the guy that says yes to things. And that was kind of it felt like.
Yeah, and all he did was just Omega was like, "Hey, I want to go with you." And he's like, "Nah, you shouldn't go with me. Maybe you should come with me." Like that's like every episode. Like it just, I really do think that the show has a good story if it was in 8 hours of and it just ended. Like I don't think for me at the ending, I wasn't excited for that season two. Like I'm not looking forward to it. Like even Rebels at the ending of season one, I was like, I'm down for this. Like I'm down for a Jedi apprentice in between episode 3 and 4. Like that's an interesting idea for me. This, I'm like, I would rather they just end this and then just do another miniseries of like Rex or something like that. Like, why was he wearing that hood? Like, where was he? Like, that's more interesting to me than anything that was going on in the show. And I think that as a whole, like, it was fine. I think this is the weakest of the Filoni verse.
Was that him in that episode where it's the sisters from season 7 of Clone Wars, correct? Yes. I forget their names, but they talked to someone. Was that intended to be Rex? Is that what the implication was?
Oh, I don't remember.
Honestly. Yeah, because like
I was talking about the time when they had to save that dude on the other clone and the other planet, and then Rex is like messaging them, and he's like, I gotta go.
Okay. Yeah.
But like it's Yeah, so as a whole, I think it's, again, it's a fine show. It's just didn't feel like it didn't hit that. It didn't make me want that next season. And I don't think it's necessarily earned for me. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that the show has many moments of Star Wars brilliance. And I think that those moments are kind of, like Roger's saying, surrounded by a lot of bloat and, like Barrett's talking about, a lot of filler. And it's like, I don't like using the word filler because I feel like it kind of seems like an empty criticism, but this is a perfect example of it. Now it's like, no, it's accurate. Like, that is what this is.
Because a lot of people use filler to, like, when it's not plot heavy, but when you do stuff that's not plot heavy, there's still character development. There's stuff like that that's important. And I don't think we really got that balance this season whatsoever.
To me, the filler in this is kind of something that Roger was alluding to, which is this concept of, all right, the clones need to go make money on this planet. So they're going to go and they're going to tell Omega to stay on the ship. And then Omega's going to be like, oh, gee, guys, I want to go, though. And then they get in trouble and she ends up saving them. Rinse and repeat. How many times do we need that? Because it felt like that happened 4, 5, 6 times. And that was those moments where it's like, you could be like, oh, it's character development. It's like, no, not really. Like, I didn't get that. I would have much more preferred kind of character-driven moments of conversations and things. Then we do get those, and when we get them, they're actually really, really damn good. And I like Omega. I can't wait to see her in the future and in other Star Wars properties, potentially live action or otherwise. But I can't help but feel like 16 episodes was way too much for this. I feel like this, as a Mandalorian style live action 8-episode show, could have been fucking fantastic if they took it seriously and told a story and kind of made it a little bit more complete. But I'm not looking forward to season 2. I'm gonna watch it, and like, I think that there's enough here that I'm like, I'm hooked and I want to see where they're going. But they're giving us breadcrumbs in way too few crumbs over way too long of a time. And to give them a compliment with this, I am a little surprised at how it all ended, or season 1 ended. It didn't go the directions we thought it would. And I think that Filoni did a really good job of playing with our expectations of, oh man, Wrecker, he's going to turn on them because he.
Yeah. And that was like I was surprised how early that was resolved and stuff like that. But then we had also talked about like how interesting it was with like the decommissioning of the clones and stuff like that. And that, like the way that that was handled was definitely awesome. Like, we knew that like that was going to come in some shape or form, but like still the way that they did it, I was like, holy crap. Like the emotional weight to it, I really felt and dug. And I would agree for the most part with Roger, with like there is a lot of bloat and stuff like that. And I didn't mind so much of like the some of the characters connecting right with like Hera. I don't hate or love the twin, or not the twin, the sisters from season 7 of Clone Wars. I thought that like that was like whatever. Like, I don't mind it as much because it's no longer just the family, you know, like we always talk about Star Wars, like everybody's got to be connected, you know, like, you know, with like the entire like Skywalker family and stuff. And for me, it played out, or at least my interpretation was just like, it's a little more coincidental that like some of these characters are running into each other. And I liked seeing like Omega interact with a young Hera and seeing like kind of the origins of Hera and her family, because like we've gotten kind of like teases of like what went down with her family in Rebels, and like we meet her dad at some point in Rebels as well. So it was like, I thought it was like, there were little moments like that I thought were cool opportunities to kind of flesh those characters out a little more. But that was just me personally.
Yeah, I get that. I think that I would have been a lot more fine with that if it didn't happen with another Rebels character, like in the first episode with Caleb Dune. Like, it's just like so funny to me that they're like, okay, well, the Bad Batch is so connected to Rebels that two of the main characters of the show have intricate like
Caleb was in like 5 seconds. Who cares?
Yeah, but then that's how he hits the clones. You know what I mean? Like, it just felt like, and it's so interesting because like that could have been its own like one-off like Hera like backstory, like that could have been its own one-off like episode of something.
Yeah,
but like the fact that it's connected to the Bad Batch, I think takes away from the show and takes away time that the show kind of needed. Because like, you're right, like Tim, like when you're looking back at it, like, oh, it's like, I don't want to like shit on filler episodes because it is character development. But when you look back, you're like, again, like, what did Echo do? Like, what did Tech do? Like, they didn't really have those moments where I felt that they came together as like this really interesting team that you understood all their motives and what they're going for. And I think that by the ending of Rebels season one, you get a better sense of who these characters are and why you care about them.
And like what the dynamic is and stuff like that. And yeah, I do agree, like with especially with like losing one of their comrades to the seduction of the Empire, you think like their teamwork and effort would have been a little more broken. And I think it would have been a little more interesting to study that a little more and have that be kind of the through thread of the season, of like they're being broken, kind of broken up with like their teamwork because they lost like an important member to them, a brother of theirs, right? And then they're dealing with this new member, Omega, and stuff like that. And I think that would have been a better way to
but they were fine. They're killing it.
They're totally fine. They're just like Echo pretended to be a droid, and that was funny. Like
that was fun.
I just want to say, jumping off what you just said there, I do think that the absolute best thing the show did was Crosshairs, because the storyline was fantastic, and the way that they wrapped it up I thought was actually brilliant. Like the push and pull of the last two episodes of him kind of the flip, reverse flip, heel turn, face turn type shit, but they never fully went with it, which I thought was good. Like him not joining them, I was like, thank God. That would have been corny as all shit. Like the numbers lines, like all that stuff. It's like they earned this. This was great. It's just that I feel kind of got lost over 16 episodes where any episode he was in was my favorite episodes.
Yeah. And there'd be some episodes where it wasn't even really about him, but he'd be in like a scene, like kind of developing like whatever he's doing, and then it would go to the rest of the episode, and you're like, this is kind of jarring, weirdly enough. I totally agree with that.
I also appreciated that they literally went against our expectation of he's taken out the chip already. Like, no, it doesn't matter. Like, he's already
so cool.
Yeah, I love that. I thought that was great. And I the way that they're setting him up at the ending feels like a moral gray area where he can be like almost like the Red Hood of like of their group. And like that kind of rules. Like, that is my favorite stuff, when you get into like, okay, is he good? Is he bad? It doesn't really matter. Like, he's just himself. And that is the best choice that they could have made with that character, for sure.
This show is brought to you by MeUndies. You know how when you're in a nerve-wracking situation and people say, imagine everyone in their underwear to make yourself feel comfortable? As if imagining a room full of strangers down to their skivvies is what makes us feel comfy. MeUndies believes comfort does not start with imagining, but instead it starts with actual comfort. MeUndies designs limited edition prints all the time, so you can express yourself every single day. Building your undie collection and picking out which lucky pair gets to meet your butt for the day has never been so fun. Choose prints with corgis, chicken nuggets, your zodiac sign, goofy puns, and more. MeUndies also releases collabs with some pretty big names like the Rolling Stones and Space Jam: A New Legacy, but you have to grab them fast, because once they're gone for good. Kinda Funny loves MeUndies. You've heard the boys talk about them for years. They're comfort with good designs that make your friends jealous. To get 15% off your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/morning. That's MeUndies.com/morning. We're also brought to you by Faherty Brand. Can it be? It's finally summer, and we're actually going to have a real summer this year. So naturally, we've started thinking about looking good after a year and some change, because we're going places. This summer is what Kinda Funny is calling Hot Boy Summer. You saw the jean jacket, you see the haircut, we're doing it big this summer. And that's where Faherty comes in. They make the perfect clothes for the summer. Tim Geddes is the most stylish person I know, and he even loves Faherty Brand clothing. And they're so confident in the quality of their stuff, they have a lifetime guarantee of quality. They'll replace or fix your clothes forever, no matter what. And to top it all off, Faherty is giving our listeners 20% off. That's right, 20% off. So stock up on all of your clothes for summer now. Head to FahertyBrand.com and use code MORNING at checkout to snag 20% off all your summer gear. That's code MORNING at Faherty. That is FahertyBrand.com for 20% off. Last but not least, we're brought to you by Upstart. If you're carrying a credit balance month after month, it can feel like you're in a never-ending cycle of debt. Upstart can help you make that final payment so you can get ahead. Upstart is the fast and easy way to pay off your credit card debt with a personal loan all online. Upstart knows you're more than just your credit score and is expanding access to affordable credit. Upstart considers your income and current employment to find you a smarter rate for your loan. With a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate upfront for loans between $1,000 to $50,000. You can receive funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/KFMB. That is upstart.com/KFMB. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/KFMB.
And I also want to kind of echo what Barrett was saying a little bit about the finale, like kind of just kind of, you know, being this big epic Star Wars moment. Like when you look back at like if you were to make a timeline of events in the Star Wars like chronology, and it's just like, okay, cool, the Battle of Yavin, then the, you know, the Battle of this, the Jakku, the like all the fucking random stuff, the Scarif, and it's not always battles, but like in my mind right now there's a lot of battles, but like the fall of Kamino, like I think is like this show, this season did something that's pretty freaking cool. Like Kamino is one of the 10 named planets in the Star Wars movies, at least, right? And for it to fall, granted, it's not necessarily everyone's favorite, but I think this show did a good job of making it a favorite and making me way more interested.
Yeah.
And I think them destroying it, or I guess just the bases, they didn't destroy the planet.
Yeah.
But I mean, just destroying what we know, the only thing we know of, the only location we know of Kamino, like, I thought is very interesting for the lore going forward, but in some ways worries me, where it kind of just feels like there's not a plan with that. It's kind of just like, okay, we did this to move them on somewhere else, where like going back to what we're talking about is it egregious cameos and is everything too connected? I like when things are connected, and I always never really vibed with the criticism of like, it always goes back to Tatooine. It's like, yeah, because this is a story that started on Tatooine. It's like, sure, like so many of these things are connected because we're dealing with connected stories. However, there's good and bad integrations, and I think that, you know, R2 and C-3PO being as involved in the prequels as they were is an example of really, really bad storytelling in that respect, where whenever you have to wipe a character's mind, it's like, I don't know, that's probably bad decisions were made that you kind of had to deal with. And I think that this is a potential example of that, of they made this decision. Now they're going to have to deal with it later. And have they thought that out or not? And things like Hera being in this and like the Rebels characters, like because they were in this and because we know what happens with them later, that kind of shows it's like, okay, well, why weren't they with the Bad Batch then? You know what I mean? Like, why didn't they help out, or did they never kind of interact or whatever? And maybe they do, and we see it later. But if that happens, it better feel organic and real, or else then it's really just going to be like, all right, Filoniverse is literally just about him creating new characters and connecting them at any chance possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do think that there is something, I don't know if Filoni specifically has like a vision for like Hera and like the Bad Batch connecting again, but I think he does have something definitely when it comes to the cloning. And like, that what I see like the most, that's where I see season two, like actually at all. Like, I don't see anything else like in my mind, like that's interesting.
Yeah. And all of the shows he's been in charge of since the Star Wars shows have started on Disney Plus, like that's whether it's all slowly felt like we're putting the pieces of the puzzle together of this whole secret cloning operation. I think the Kaminoan lady at the end of this last episode, I think will have a big hand into whatever we saw at the, what was it, like halfway through or near the end of season two of Mandalorian and stuff like that. Like, I think there are things he is definitely thinking out. Like, I don't think we just destroyed Kamino just to have like this moment. I think there are definitely things that we're building towards, and I think those two major things are the secret cloning project and Thrawn. And I think that's why like Filoni wants these interconnected characters and stories, because I think we're building to a new group of heroes to take on Thrawn eventually. I think Bad Batch is just another piece of that puzzle, building towards that kind of stuff. So
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, it is so cool. And I think, like, and this is something that I always say with Filoni projects, is that, like, season one is always kind of a struggle, and they definitely learn and go forward. Like, I would say the strongest season one Filoni has ever worked on is Star Wars Rebels, because at the end you're like, all right, fuck yeah, let's go. Like, I'm into this cast of characters. And I would say Mandalorian season one is right behind that. And so I'm here for the slow breadcrumbs for now. If the next kind of wave of Star Wars shows, season two of Bad Batch, season three of Mandalorian, whatever Boba Fett does, the Book of Boba Fett, whatever that is, and some of the other shows, if it's still just breadcrumbs in the next kind of wave of these shows, then I'll be like, all right, we need to build to whatever we're building to a little quicker here. But for now, I'm personally okay with it, just because there's got to be groundwork laid to pull that off and to make that emotionally satisfying when we do get the Thrawn fight, when we do hopefully get Ezra back and stuff like that. That's my takeaway.
It's funny, and you know, not to go too deep down this path of, you know, just Star Wars negativity, but looking at Star Wars as a whole, I think the biggest problem it has is the lack of vision and coherency across all the projects, because these Filoni things are just trying to answer questions that the movies fucked up, right? Like, that clearly is just, they're like, all right, well, you gave me this shit for the prequels, so I need to make sense with a couple key things that I can't change. Let's have some good moments in between. And now this stuff clearly kind of feels like the same thing for the sequel trilogy, where it's like, all right, well, they fucked up the sequel trilogy, but there's a couple key things we have to hit.
After the sequel trilogy, they called for literally like, hey, we fucked it up again. Can you come back? And that's why, like, I think it's funny, like, and I know we're kind of getting off track here with like Bad Batch specifically, but when, you know, the end of season two of Mandalorian, where there's a certain character that has like the dialogue of like, you know, like untrained power, like isn't like you can't do anything with untrained power. It needs to be trained and all that stuff. And a lot of people took that as Filoni kind of shitting on The Last Jedi specifically. But no, I think that's Filoni kind of taking a hit at like the executives of Lucasfilm and being like, y'all have fucked up so many times and you need to just fucking trust me. And now I have to fix shit over for you again. So,
yeah. But so here's my criticism of it, though. It's like, I just feel like they need to tighten this up, because the vision in this stuff is getting lost and kind of just all over the place, where it's like, we're all watching all these things and we're seeing the breadcrumbs kind of like line up to this cloning storyline that's going to eventually lead to it's fucking Palpatine coming back. Right? Like, that's what's happening. And it's just like, I just feel it needs to be a little bit presented in a more concise way that feels like there's weight to it, and that there's purpose of, like, it's not just breadcrumbs, it's the actual fucking meal that we're moving forward. Because I'm looking at the lineup of Star Wars shows and it doesn't feel like we're going to eat anytime soon or ever. Honestly, it's just going to be like a lot of little snacks along the way to kind of make the best out of the shit we were given. And that sucks, because I feel like it should be a little bit more than that, and it should be better, and it could be. So I don't know. I like seeing this interconnected stuff that we're seeing, of like the scientist at the end of this is clearly wearing the same outfit as the Mandalorian scientist, that when we first watched Mandalorian, we're like, that's the Kamino logo. Like, stuff like that is really freaking cool. So obviously there is a vision, and I'm happy about that. I just wish that vision wasn't surrounded with so much seemingly just like cartoon bullshit.
Yeah.
You know? And that translates to live action too, even with the Mandalorian, right? Where there is a lot of shit around there. But at the end of the day, to end this on a positive note, Star Wars, Mandalorian season two, it ended with Luke Skywalker. Like, they fucking did the thing. So I don't want to be like, oh, these TV shows are never going to fully go all in, because they did. Mm-hmm. And they did what WandaVision didn't.
Yeah. That's true. I don't think, for me at least, that the Bad Batch is that compelling place where I want the meal. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't really want the meal out of the Bad Batch. And I would have much preferred if there was a bunch of smaller shows that all connected into something. If there was like a bunch of miniseries of, hey, like, this is the Bad Batch story. Here's Rex's story. Here's, you know, what's going on in between Ahsoka's story. Like, and then we can all build to like a show where it explains what happened.
Essentially Avenger, like MCU phase one, but in like shorter, kind of like condensed miniseries. Like, yeah, that's
yeah.
I, I think that's what he's trying to do, but like, yeah, it's way too long. Again, it's like kind of the original run of Clone Wars. It's like not every season needs to be this long. There's a lot of filler, but it eventually gets there, which I'm personally excited for and hopeful for.
Like, that loses people. That loses a lot of people.
I know.
And more than that, that means that a lot of people don't even give it a fucking shot. Whereas if it was like a condensed type thing where it's like, no, you got to fucking watch this because it's good. I think a lot more people would be like, I'm willing to do that. To Roger's point earlier, like, Barrett, did you watch this week to week to week to week?
I kept forgetting about it.
Okay. Well,
so yeah, like, exactly. I would let like two or three episodes build up and then I'd watch a few at a time.
I tried to stay on top and I did for the most part, but there was maybe two chunks where it's like, oh fuck, I missed five episodes, so I need to watch them. And that's when I really started to see the flaws in the show, where I enjoyed it infinitely more when it was just, here's 25 minutes a week of something to like, this is fun enough to watch, right? Yeah. But when you're watching it as a story back to back to back, you're like, oh, this is pretty thin. And like, we're retreading a lot of things that were semi-interesting the first time, less interesting the fifth time.
Yeah.
It's so interesting that this is going to have a second season. Like, I really do want to see what that vision, because Filoni has to have some form of vision or what he's going for. But I as a viewer, just do not see it at all. So I will watch season two, but I don't know if I'll be watching week to week to week unless we do it week to week to week. The videos,
yeah. and we're not going to, and I think that says a lot, right? And like, again, we're coming off negative here, but it's just because we care and we see the potential, and the potential's in this. Like, there are brilliant moments in this show, like consistently
gorgeous. Oh my god, it's so pretty. Yeah. But also, like,
so pretty.
I know we were like kind of going back and forth on like interconnecting characters, but Cad Bane coming in,
dude. That episode was awesome.
Introducing him, I was like, holy shit. And then like the whole fight with Fennec was like, oh god,
that's where I think the show's gonna go. I think that Crosshairs is gonna become like a bounty hunter of some kind and like hang out with Cad Bane. I don't think that's
where it's gonna go, but I did think it was funny for a second when that episode where they find them in the broken down ship on that one planet to take out the ships out of their head, and then he gets like fucked up, like his face gets all messed up, and then they wrap all these bandages around his head, and I was like, one, have we seen Dengar yet canonically, lore wise in this show? Two, are they gonna turn Crosshair into Dengar? Because I don't want that, and I was so happy that they didn't do that, because there was a second like the way it was wrapped around his head, I was like, no, please don't. Please don't be
Wait,
this.
That's so funny.
Yeah, there was a bunch of little misses where I was like, oh my god, are they really going to do the Rancor thing? Is this going to be the actual? It's not the actual Rancor. I've looked it up. It's not the actual Rancor.
It was a baby Rancor. By the time it grows up,
there's canonically, I don't know. I googled it and it's like it canonically cannot be the same Rancor, but they did a lot of things. So it's like, are you doing this? Are you really doing this?
Okay, I think the implication in that show is that it was the Rancor. I think that's what they intended for that episode. There was something else that I wanted to talk about, and I forget what it was, but I don't know. I enjoyed it. I've never been like super high off of any season one of any Filoni show. But I think this does kind of like the same job as most of the other season one of a Filoni show, where it starts the groundwork. It does unfortunately feel like we're starting the groundwork all over again with the pacing of this first season and stuff like that. But I'm excited for the future. And I want to know where Thrawn is. I want to know where my big blue boy is and what he's up to. I want to know where my blue haired boy Ezra is. I just need to get there. We need to get there, Tim.
I want to see Sabine Wren in live action, and all these rumors this week of her being cast. I'm like, who's it gonna be? Because it's gonna be awesome.
I hope it's a nobody.
Really?
Yeah. That's definitely a character, like, because of Rosario Dawson playing like Ahsoka and stuff. Like, I would just have preferred that they would be like no name actors, because now I feel like people tie Rosario Dawson more to Ahsoka than Ahsoka as a character herself because of Mandalorian season two. But that's just personally me.
See, I mean, I these rumors are like Lana Condor. I'm like, I'm fucking in. That I'm so down for that. But
I don't know. It's
I never watched Deadly Class, so she was in that, right?
Yeah. She was bad. I only watched episode one, but she was cool.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, my Rebels rewatch.
Oh yeah, we need an update, Tim. Where are you at?
The update's not going well. It's just life's been life, guys. But
yeah,
I know. Halfway through season two, and I am fucking loving it. And Rebels is good. Rebels is damn good. It still has a lot of the same problems I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
But it's like I am so into that cast. I think that they're fantastic. And they do a much better job of Bad Batch of, you know, Roger saying like, what the fuck did Echo do? What the fuck did Tech do? It's like, we know what they're all doing.
Yeah.
And anytime you're like, what has, what's the big guy's name?
Zeb.
What has Zeb really been doing recently? Then the moment you start thinking that, he gets an episode it's a very cool thing.
And, everybody gets their moments and they all get their moments together as well. And it's so good. And I encourage you, Tim, whenever you get the free time to try to finish season two at least, because
I
need your thoughts on Rebels season two.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My advice is to watch it slowly. You can watch it over time, because I am going to be watching for the first time the series finale tomorrow, which I'm very excited of Rebels.
Whoa.
So I've been taking my time with it, watching an episode a week or so. So it's just, I'm very excited. This show is fucking fantastic. Yeah. And Bad Batch is okay.
Well, let us know in the comments below what you think about Bad Batch, what you think about the future of Star Wars. What I'm really interested in, not to go on too much longer here, but like, we're about to hit a major saturation point of Star Wars content. Like, MCU kind of was a slow rolling the last 2 years for many fucking reasons, but the phase four kind of introduction with the Disney Plus stuff, like, you know, we're in this mode now where we've already had three MCU shows. We're on our fourth now. We know that we're getting more. Star Wars, it's like Mandalorian season one, big break. Mandalorian season two, Bad Batch. But we're about to get Visions. And then it just kind of feels like Book of Boba Fett is going to topple down into a MCU-like constant boom of growing these things. So hopefully those breadcrumbs might start turning into a meal quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Maybe.
We'll see.
We got Kenobi to look forward to, guys. Let us know in the comments below how excited you are for Kenobi. And remember, subscribe to the Kinda Funny Screencast and remain here for all of your movie and TV needs. Till next time, I love you all. Goodbye.